Welcome in. Today we're building something that sounds way more complex than it actually is, a tape dust ghost note system in Ableton Live 12, designed for rag-infused drum and bass chaos, but without wrecking the punch of your main drums. The big concept is simple. We're going to write ghost notes, tiny MIDI hits you barely feel, and use those to trigger a little tick sound. Then we'll process that tick into gritty tape dust, vinyl static, dubby slap, and movement. The key word is controlled. This is not a new shaker track. It's a support layer that makes your groove feel faster, dirtier, and more alive. And here's the mindset I want you to keep the whole time. If you mute this layer, the groove should feel like it loses energy. But when it's on, you shouldn't be thinking, oh, there's the dust track. You should just feel more roll. Alright, let's set up the session. Set your tempo to something drum and bass friendly, around 172 to 176 BPM. I'll say 174 is a nice middle ground. Now make three tracks. Track 1 is your main drums. This can be a drum rack, audio break, whatever you're using as the backbone. Track 2 is a MIDI track called Ghost MIDI. This is our trigger lane. Track 3 is optional, called Tape Dust FX, where you could route and resample later. For a beginner workflow, we can actually do most of this on the Ghost MIDI track, but I want you thinking like a mixer. Separate layers, separate control. Now we create the groove engine, the ghost notes. On the ghost MIDI track, create a 1-bar MIDI clip. Set your grid to 16THS so you can place quick little hits. Here's a pattern idea that works great with that classic skank energy around a 2-step. Place little notes around where your hats and snares live. Example positions you can try: 1.2, 1.2.3, 1.3, 1.4.2, and 1.4.4. Don't overthink the exact positions. What you're really aiming for is busy but quiet. Now the most important part, velocity. Keep most hits extremely low, like 10 to 35. Then, maybe once per bar, put one accent a bit higher, like 45 to 55. That accent is your tape snag moment. If everything is loud, nothing feels special and it turns into percussion instead of texture. For groove, you've got two easy options. Option 1. Use the groove pool and grab a swing that lands you around 55 to 62%. That's usually enough to get jungle swagger without turning into triplets. Option 2. Manually nudge a couple of those ghost notes a tiny bit late. Like, not a full 16th late, just a slight delay so it leans back. Cool. Right now, those notes don't make sound. So we need to turn them into a tiny tick. On the ghost MIDI track, load an instrument rack, then add simpler. Put simpler in one-shot mode and load a short tick sample. If you don't have a dust sample, don't stop. Use any short hi-hat, a click, a rim, a piece of Foley, anything with a quick transient. In simpler, set the decay really short. Think 50 to 120 milliseconds. We want a tick, not a full hat. Then turn on simpler's filter. Low-pass it so it's not harsh. Try LP12 around 4 to 8 kHz. You can adjust later, but start darker than you think. We're going for old dubplate energy, not modern crispy top. Now, quick coach note. Gain staging keeps the dirt classy. Before we add distortion and bit reduction, pull the simpler output down a bit. You want this track peaking around minus 18 to minus 12 dBFS before the heavy effects. Then later you'll raise the track fader to taste. This prevents accidental clipping that sounds like cheap digital crackle. Now we build the tape dust chain using stock audio effects. Put these after simpler, in this order. First, auto filter for tone shaping. Set it to band pass, BP12. Put the frequency somewhere in the 1.5 to 3.5 kHz range. This is a sweet spot where grit reads clearly without fighting your sub. Set resonance around 0.6 to 1.2. Not whistly, just focused. If you want movement, add a tiny LFO amount, like 5 to 12%. And sync the rate to 1/8 or 1/16. Subtle. If you can obviously hear the filter wobbling, you've probably gone too far for this roll. Next, saturator for tape-ish thickness. Set drive around 2 to 6 dB. Turn on soft clip. The goal is not to smash it, it's to make it feel denser and more printed, like it's coming off a slightly abused medium. After saturator, add redux for controlled digital dirt. Keep this subtle. Downsample around 2.0 to 6.0. And bit reduction mild, like 10 to 14 bits. If you go too hard, it turns into that brittle fizz that fights cymbals and makes your top end painful. Ragga and jungle grit usually lays in the mids, not in a fake 10k sizzle. Now add echo for ragga space and slap energy. Set echo to sync. Try left time at 1/8, and right time at 1/8 or 3/16. Keep feedback around 10 to 25%. Inside Echo, use the filters. Low cut around 300 to 600 HC and high cut around 3 to 6K HC. Then set dry slash wet around 10 to 20%. We're adding air, not turning this into a delay track. Now gate. This is the device that stops the whole thing from becoming mush. Set the threshold so only your ghost hits open the gate. Fast return. For very low, basically off when it's closed. The gate keeps the transient tick alive and prevents the echo tail from taking over the bar. Here's a way to think about it. Your chain creates two things, the tick and the tail. If it's too washy, don't panic and start changing everything. Reduce the tail first. Lower echo feedback or dry slash wet. Then tighten the gate. Now we make it pump with the drums, so it never steals the crack of your snare or the punch of your kick. Add a compressor at the end of the chain. Turn on side chain. Set audio from to your main drums track, or even better, a kick and snare group if you've got one. This makes the ducking snare aware, instead of constantly triggered by hats. Set ratio around 4 to 1. Attack 1 to 5 milliseconds. Release 60 to 140 milliseconds and tune that release to the groove. You're aiming for about 2 to 5 dB of gain reduction when the main hits land. When this is right, the dust feels like it's glued to the drums, but it politely bows out when the kick and snare speak. Now let's make it performable. This is where the Raga Chaos comes in, but still controlled. Group your audio effects into an audio effect rack. Then create four macros. Macro 1. Dust tone. Map it to the auto filter frequency and maybe a tiny amount of resonance. Macro 2. Tape heat. Map it to saturator drive. Macro 3. Raga space. Map it to echo dry slash wet and a small range of feedback. Macro 4. Grime. Map it to redux downsample, but keep the macro range small so you don't accidentally destroy the top end. Now you can do simple, musical automation. Every 8 or 16 bars, give Raga space a quick push, like a mini dub send, then bring it back. On fills, push grime for literally one beat, then snap it back. That snap back is what makes it feel like a DJ move, not like you just changed your mix. If you want variation without making it random, use this rule. Anchors and decorations. Keep a few ghost hits that always happen, like one right before the snare, and put your variations on the extra hits only. Remove two or three ghost notes occasionally, or slightly change velocities each bar. That way, the pocket stays intact, but it still feels alive. Another super underrated trick. Track delay. If the dust is fighting your hats or snare, go to the dust track delay and try plus 5 to plus 15 milliseconds for laid-back swagger, or minus 5 to minus 10 milliseconds for more urgency and forward motion. Tiny timing shifts can do more than adding another plugin. Let's talk quick arrangement so this isn't just a loop that does the same thing forever. In your intro, let the dust be louder and give it more echo. It sets the pirate radio, dubplate mood fast. At the drop, do the opposite. Make the dust quieter, tighten the gate, and lean more on the sidechain so your main drums slap. Every 8 bars, you can do a 1-beat dust storm. That means denser ghosts for 1 beat, a little more space, then back to normal. In breakdowns, you can slowly filter the dust upward and increase its level until it almost behaves like a hi-hat layer, then pull it back when the real hats come in. That's a clean energy ramp with no new parts. And here's a nasty but effective drop trick, the pre-drop vacuum. In the last half bar before the drop, automate the dust volume down quickly, reduce echo feedback almost to nothing, and tighten the gate. That contrast makes the drop hit harder even if your drums don't change. Before we wrap, a few common mistakes to avoid. If the dust is too loud and you can identify it as a shaker line, turn it down. It should be felt. If you skip the gate, the echo will smear everything into a fog. If you overdo redux, you'll fight your cymbals and make the mix brittle. If you don't sidechain, the dust will mask snare transients and you'll wonder why your beat isn't cracking anymore. And if you go random with ghost notes, it'll sound messy. Chaos still needs a pocket. Quick 10-minute practice plan to lock this in. Make a basic two-step. Kick on 1. Snare on 2 and 4. Make a 1-bar ghost clip, with 6 to 10 hits on offbeats and 16 THS. Velocities 10 to 40. Build the chain. Auto-filter in bandpass, saturator, redux, echo, gate, then sidechain compressor. Arrange 16 bars. Bars 1 to 8, more echo. Bars 9 to 16, tighter gate. Less echo, more sidechain. Render it and listen at low volume. That's important. If the groove feels faster and more alive but the drums still clearly win, you nailed it. Let's recap what you just built. You made a ghost note triggered dust layer that behaves like rhythmic tape grit. You shaped it with filtering, saturation, bit reduction, and echo, then you gated it and sidechained it so it never blocks the main drums, and you turned it into a performance tool with macros, so you can do ragga-style chaos moves on phrase changes. If you tell me what kind of drum pattern you're using two-step, amen chop, steppers, I can suggest a specific ghost note layout and a simple 8 or 16 bar macro automation plan that fits that pocket.